What's up, y'all? This is Rome. We got Aaron, Jason in the house. Time for a little NFL and college football recap. We're just going to recap it all on today's pod. We're recording late Monday night. I was on the road, per usual, to do the 24-hour round trip stuff because the baby mama doesn't want to take one step outside of her house. So you can imagine how difficult that is. But I'll do anything for my baby daughter. So hopefully she remembers this stuff. But I'm pretty exhausted. 16-hour day driving. Rental cars, et cetera, et cetera. We did have Monday Night Football tonight, which was, a lot of these primetime games have been pretty bad. They've been pretty bad. This was a little bit better than last week, I got to say. So that's a plus. Did you guys enjoy it?
I mean, it's all right, Rome. I mean, I will say, Rome, you mentioned you did have your baby girl with you. I mean, Steelers got another win, so I guess that holds true. So this week coming up, I will be fading the Steelers, and then I guess taking them the following week.
100%. They're playing the Bears this week, so your daughter's not with you, and they're playing the Bears. Auto loss for the Steelers this week.
When they started off bad, I said, Amelia, you got to put on the fucking jersey right now. She's like, what? No. I'm like, no, dude, you're putting it on. So I brought her. I took her pajamas off, like, you're putting on the jersey. She's like, fine, you know. And then all of a sudden, things started happening. I'm just like, I can't believe this stuff, dude. This is like, I don't care how superstitious it is, and it's working. The Steelers jersey, her just chilling right there on the couch.
She putting on the Harrison jersey, or you got a special jersey for her?
Yeah, she just has like a little, you know, yeah, it's just a special jersey. Special Steelers jersey. A little, it's like a girl's, you know, yeah, crop top jersey, you know.
It's good luck.
Yeah, you know, but I couldn't believe it. I was like, dude, they're winning again. She's like, I don't know why. You know, she's really embarrassed. But yeah, no, you're right. I don't feel good about this week. I do and I don't. But we'll get to the Steelers in a little bit. Great game from Dak Prescott. Actually, the whole offense. Genty started off hot in that game and then cooled off. I don't know what happened. I really needed him to score 40 points today so I can win my fantasy game week. And it was on Sunday around halftime where I remembered why I quit playing fantasy 10 years ago to begin with. I can't enjoy any game. I was not having any fun. I'm upset at every game that's happening. I'm looking at my team. Six guys injured did not play today. I picked up a defense. I picked up a new kicker. I picked up a tight end. I did a lot of things. And then no matter what, Herbert. 6 points. You know, Metcalf did a little bit better, but not great. Genty, 4 points. It's just, I'm sick of fantasy football, man. I don't think I'm going to play it ever again. This is it. I'm just going to get a 4-time fantasy football championship t-shirt done from like 10 years ago and just live with that for the rest of my life.
Well, I mean, that's a common fantasy football experience. I mean, you're complaining. You play in a league where you just pick up, like, pro bowlers in the free agency.
Oh, come on. You're like, we're playing it.
But, yeah, if you want real heartburn, Rome, I play in a pretty big league. I had three Cowboys on that team. I'm in 7-3 in that league. I'm in first place in the division. I need some points out of Williams, CD, and Ferguson. Got an early touchdown from Ferguson and CD. I'm looking good. I'm down 7 points right there in the fourth quarter. There's a fourth down play to CD in his hands. No wow. one near him to get into the touchdown. I lost all because wow. of that drop, Rome. So that's real fantasy disappointment right there. But you know what?
That's called a bad beat.
It's a bad beat. But you know, when you play in a lot of different leagues, Rome, you know, you had some that I blew people out and a couple that I lost in. So, you know, it all evens out at the same. So
that's the key, Rome. You're only doing the one league. You got to have like four or five.
No, yeah,
like Jason. That way you win at least two.
I used
Maybe
to do
three.
That.
Now, if you go 0-5, you just got to stick your head in the toilet and just keep flushing it till next Sunday. But if you go 5-0, you're just out the happy hour every day. Like, hey, guys, I went 5-0 in fantasy football.
Yep.
Who wants advice this week?
I even tweet about it. I'm like, it's halftime, week 11. Now I remember why I quit in the first place. Not having any fun.
Well, you see, like, you got to watch. Not like you can't watch it all day, Rome. Because I'll tell you, like, one of the leagues, and I've been in this league like 20 plus years with a bunch of buddies of mine. I was projected to win that league. I got You know, I got 30 from Bijan on that team and everything, and everything's looking all right. You know, I don't finish the end of the game because I'm watching the Bears game, and all of a sudden Josh Allen's got 48 points, and I'm projected to lose that by like a landslide at a certain point. So, well, you know, these things happen.
Who's the rookie running back on the Patriots?
Henderson? Trayvon?
Henderson, yeah, got it.
That's who I was faced this week. So that guy already had a 3-point lead on me before things even started kicking out. That's before the big dog shit that the Herbert, you know, threw up and the Chargers and a lot of other good teams that just threw up this weekend. Let's just get into it, though, because I am not happy about the fucking Chargers. All right. They finally cracked the top eight again, and then they threw up another dog doo-doo. I'm done with them. They're just not that good. They're highly inconsistent. We have like a handful of these teams that are good one week, shit the other. Your Jags, you might want to put them in there too as well. You know, I still don't think they're that good, but they put an ass whooping. I'm nominating that ass whooping of the week right then and there. They looked really sharp. I don't know, man. Chargers did not show up at all by any means of the imagination. And, they should be really concerned. That's a really tough division, you know. Thank God, you know, KC lost last night. You know, they don't look great either, but, you know, everyone's already handing them another Super Bowl just because they played one good game, two good quarters. You know, it's like the Packers. They played one good quarter, one good game. What have they done since then? They have a 6-3-1 record. Let's talk about good records and, like, are they good or are they bad? We can add Jason's Bears to that as well. Like, I'm division, so confused.
Hey,
they're in the division lead, the number one. Bears. I'm like, what the hell?
You got to address like, you got to address them as division leading.
Dude, Jason's
leading.
Like, I
don't think I've seen Jason have that biggest smile on his face.
I sent Jason a meme because like NFL memes had a good one. He's like, what was it, Jason?
It was, yeah, you know, the funny thing about that, Rome, I found that on Twitter. About like 12 hours before you like
oh, did you?
Sent
yeah.
that to me because I wanted to repost that on Instagram. Like,
yeah,
I was like, man, I can't, I can only get on Twitter. It won't go on there. Yeah, it was, yeah. It was basically a tweet that says, you expect me to believe it's a coincidence that the perennial chokers of the Chicago Bears become the favorite football team of the Pope and they start winning like this. And then it was like a highlight montage of all these walk-off wins of the Bears this season with some like
ridiculous
papal Catholic music behind it.
These are all the games they lost last year, and now it's just like the skin of their teeth, man. Maybe congrats though, man.
It turns around. Was it last year the Vikings like 11-2 in one yeah. score games, and now yeah. obviously well, I mean the tide they're... turns. I mean typically 1 year you're gonna be high, 1 year you're gonna be low. You're looking at finishing 6-4, 7-5, kind of in those games. If you're on the 10-2, 2-10 trend, odds are going to reverse the following year typically.
Yeah. All right. So the weekend started. I think we already talked about that. That was on Thursday. Jets, Pats, looking really impressive. Then we had Commanders, Dolphins, and Madrid. I actually caught the second half of that game.
Good game. It was a fun game.
Wasn't that bad? Commanders are just banged up. They don't got a lot to go there, but at least Dolphins still playing for their coach. Packers, Giants, our first push of the year. I think a lot of people's first push of the year. And we've been pretty close by like half a point here and there. I really have no comments on that. It was really fun to see Jameis Winston come out and play. Had like this crazy 10-yard tush push. Like who gets 10 yards out of a tush push? It's like falling forward and being all clumsy. But they made it really competitive. Texans with a really ugly but kind of a fun game a little bit, at least in the fourth quarter. Nico Collins came out. Panthers, once again, man, they came back from the dead. They came back from the dead. And if you look at the stats, I think I texted you guys, Young killed it with like four touchdowns, right? Over 350 yards, whatever it was.
Three touchdowns, 448.
Yeah, didn't he have like 448?
Jesus
Panthers,
Christ,
a
yeah.
Panthers record.
Wild, and like that's like his, like I think that's like his 12th comeback from behind win since last
year. Yeah.
But it's
Rome, I think I'm just going to declare it now. I don't know. We've pit teams like in the dead pile. Might as well add the Falcons to that list. They're no longer on life support. They're done. They're dead. Bury
them. Add them?
Yeah. They're for real.
Penix is out for the rest of the year. He doesn't look good this year. Yeah, Falcons are done, dude. Where is that list? Any games that kind of stuck out, you know, for you guys this past Sunday? Good, bad, ugly, best win. Go ahead and nominate stuff, whatever you guys want to do.
I mean, I want to go back to the top of your program, Rome, when you were talking. Oh, we found the list. List has been found.
The list, yeah.
Do you want to recap the teams that we have written off so far?
Yeah, we started this.
Maybe we can add some teams.
I didn't write the week on here, actually. Oh, I think it's week 6 in the NFL. We knocked off the Jets, Titans, Browns, Saints, Dolphins, and Raiders after week 6. Shortly after, we did add the Cardinals, and then we added the Giants. Me and you, Jason, we added them in week 9. Still like watching them play, but they're done. Now we're going to add the Cardinals, who were on the life support list. So they graduate here in week 11. We still had the, for those on the list from week 6, Bengals, Ravens, and Cowboys. Are they still on life support?
Bengals are off life support. They're done. They're dead.
Bengals are dead?
Yeah, they're dead.
Should we cross them off?
Yes.
Okay. Bengals as well. And you know what? I know Ravens won, but they don't look very good at all. I'm sorry.
They won 4 in a row.
They have. They have. Yeah. There's a lot of teams winning that are not playing really good football. This is a weird year, dude. This is a weird year.
They're sitting one game behind your Steelers for the division.
I know, dude. I'm stressed out already. All right. Look, I just drove all day today. I'm having a beer.
All right. Well, calm down. Yeah, you said the Falcons, put them on the list. Commanders, did we talk about them?
They're not on the list at all.
I think 3-8, Aaron. I think we got to say they're done
Yeah, they're done.
They've lost 6 straight. You
Falcons
do not want
too,
you
right, Rowdy to the list for sure.
Yeah,
Falcons.
Yeah, they're 3-7.
Yeah,
3-7. Yep.
Dude, we are graduating a lot of teams this week.
Listen, if you don't want to lose the Commanders Bears game of any season, because if you when you lose that game, your season's just over with. Commanders have lost 6 straight since that loss, starting with that loss to the Bears. If you think of the Bears a year ago where they lost, like, I don't know, 13 straight or whatever the heck it was after they lost the Hail Mary game.
I don't think they won until, like, the last game when they beat the Packers because the Packers sat everybody.
Yeah, but it was the start of a new year. It happened in 2025. It didn't even happen in the 2024 season.
So we just crossed off 1, 2, 3, 4 teams today. That gives us 6, 7, 8, 12 teams gone after week 11. That's a lot of teams. But then we have a lot in the middle of the pack, so it's still pretty competitive.
I mean, if we're taking off 12, that leaves 20 teams for 14 playoff spots. So, okay.
Not bad. Yeah, but anybody want to talk about one of these games here that kind of stuck out? Good, bad, ugly, best win, ass whooping.
Well, I want to start. You started with it, so you went with ass whooping, and you wanted to talk about Chargers Jags, and you posted earlier in the year ripping Aaron and I for the Liam Cohen defense and where he was at, and I think Aaron and I looking at that game, we weren't feeling it. I think
we
overall
both took the Chargers, but we had doubts.
It was creeping. Didn't kind of know where it was going to go, but they're creeping.
I did mention it was a trap game. I was like, oh.
You did mention it was a trap game. If there's one thing you want to say about the Chargers is they cannot play in the Eastern time zone.
0-4 against the spread.
Really? All on the East Coast?
All on the East Coast.
You got Giants.
Not cover. Miami did not cover. Tennessee did not cover. Jacksonville did not cover. Jesus, 1-2. They're 2-2, but 0-4 against the spread.
Well, that's not good. Okay.
So I think we can look at future stuff. We may talk ourselves into Jim Harbaugh. But, can't play in the Eastern time zone. And the Jags, I think the most impressive thing about it, Aaron was on this since the beginning of the year, was the Liam Cohen run game. And I think this was full-on display where you had both running backs in the Jacksonville backfield getting carries. You had 19 carries from ETN, 73 yards, 2 touchdowns. You had, Tootin. He had 15 carries, 74 yards for a touchdown. So you had, equal share of the backs behind Lawrence able to get the run game going, 192 total team rushing yards. You had Lawrence get a few yards and some carries as well too. So
yeah.
I think that was the key when you think about where the Buccaneers in some of these key games as Baker was able to get going. You know, they were able to get Bucky Irving and other guys in Tampa under that Liam Cohen offense. This is what Aaron highlighted at the beginning of the year. I think there may have been some games here where the running game was going, but I think this was in such a dominant fashion that they were able to control the clock in this game, get the running game going, open some things up for Trevor Lawrence. Didn't have to have him do a ton, because if you look at Trevor Lawrence's numbers, he only threw 153 yards with a touchdown and a pick. It wasn't overly impressive, but the ball control that they had overall for this game, I think that kind of told the story and kind of the overall blowout. And then I think defensively for the Jags, I think that's where it was, because they didn't allow, you mentioned Herbert, you know, 81 yards and an interception, got absolutely nothing going offensively for that.
He had no protection
Chargers team. So either. Yeah, so they got questionable protection, or else they're just not awake at, you know, it's 10 a.m. on the West Coast, 1 p.m. in the East. They just can't get up and wake enough for that game. So who knows? But I think Ask Him of the Week, Rome, you had it right on top of the show. That would have been my nominee as well.
That's a clean sweep. Clean sweep for Ass Whipping of the Week, Rome.
This gives Jags, surprisingly, like a another signature win. Every time they win, it's been really nice. They beat a really pesky, really good defense in the Texans. They got a good win against the 49ers, their first win here on the West Coast in a long time, I think ever. They got a win against the Chiefs early in October.
They beat the Texans.
Yeah, yeah. And then now they got the Chargers. So,
yeah, I mean, we came into this game, you know, obviously Liam Cohen's our guy, but we came in kind of low on him. I mean, they had that game in London against the Rams and just got blown out. Went into the bye.
Rams are
beat a Raiders team, and what was that? An overtime. Remember, they stopped the 2-point conversion. Tipped the pass by Geno. Had the Texans beat and give up, what was it like? I don't know, 20-something points there in the fourth quarter, whatever it was, and the Texans come back and shock them.
Yeah, that's nice.
So they were trending in the wrong direction. Chargers had bounced back and won three in a row ever since the game I was at SoFi against Minnesota. The defense had seemed to figure things out. We talked about when we were making the picks, like, I don't know about the Chargers going into the I'd forgotten about the Titans game. I mentioned the first two, and I'm like, oh, then I went back. I'm like, oh, damn, the Titans, that's right. They're 8.5-point favorite, only won by 7. And they just didn't show up. I mean, they got a bye week this week, but obviously they were already on a bye. They might as well just camped out.
They
camped out in Disney World there in Florida.
They barely showed up.
They didn't show up. I think Jason said it best. I mean, Jacksonville just ran it down their throat. There's nothing worse than a team when a team would just run it down your throat, line up, fullback, halfback, and say, look, we're going off tackle. We're going in between the guards. You can't stop us. They did what they wanted to do there. Defense shut them down. I mean, the Chargers, we talked about it, you know, they've got plenty of weapons on the outside, but their running backs are all banged up. And, you know, their O-line is really banged up too. What, 3/5 of their starters are out from their projected starters coming into the season. So, I mean, it was an ass whooping. There's no doubt about it. But I expect Harbaugh and those guys to kind of regroup. They come back from the bye. They get the lonely Raiders. They'll likely beat them by double digits when they come out of that. And they're projected still to make the playoffs. Jacksonville, that win over Kansas City, as you mentioned, keeps the Chiefs at bay, which I believe they're the number 9 seed right now in the AFC. So it's a big win for Jacksonville, who still, if I'm not mistaken, let me look at their schedule here, has 2 games of Indianapolis for the Colts. So they still got a lot to play for, Jacksonville.
Yeah, the only concerning thing about the Chargers, this is like what, like their 3rd or 4th game that they just didn't show up. I think they got lucky to win one of those, but it's so atypical, like a Jim Harbaugh team. You know, it's just vastly different than his past teams.
Well, if I'm looking at the Chargers schedule right now, they don't have any more Eastern time zone games, so that might be a good thing for them.
Going back to the Jags, you mentioned their schedule, Aaron. Yeah, they got 2 games against the Colts, probably be the 2 hardest games that they have. The rest of their schedule, super manageable. You play a ton of bad teams down the stretch. The only 2 teams above 500 they're playing are the 2 games against the Jets and then the game against the Broncos. And so other than that, they got a healthy dose of 2 Titans games, a Jets game, a Cardinals game. I said 2 Titans, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of winnable games for the Jags down the stretch where, you know, even if they somehow split those Colts games, lose the Broncos game and win all these other games, like, you know, you're looking at, you know, only a 6-loss team, 11-6 is probably getting you in.
Yeah, I think 11-6 definitely, yeah, and sure. 10-7 is probably safe to get in right now as well. What are they, 6-4 sitting right now? So, I mean, 11 is the magic number for sure you're in, but you got to get to at least 10 to be considered for the dance.
100%. A lot of close games this week. Big wins. I'm going to nominate the Bills in that one. That was a really fun game against the Bucks. That did not disappoint at all. Josh Allen just like, was just Josh Allen. He just completely killed it. Rams against the Seahawks. I know Seahawks still had a chance to come back. Bad game from Darnold. You know, say what you will, a lot of interceptions. Maybe didn't have like the best.
Hey, be careful what you say about Sam Darnold, because as the
I like him.
Ernest Jones said, you can stick it. You can stick it, man, if you got anything bad to say about him.
You know, I was kind of thinking, like, because Jason's been pretty tough on Sam Darnold in the past here on the pod.
I don't think so. I think he's been pretty... I mean, he loves Caleb in that division, but that's his guy. But, I mean, look, at Sam Darnold, criticism is fair. I mean, he has multultiple games against big teams where he shows up
at the end of last year, and, like, you know, of course,
the Rams are his kryptonite
for the Jets
right
is bad. Sam
Everything
Darnold
for the
reminds
Jets
me
bad.
Of, you know, Rocky IV. The Russian fighter. What's his name? Anyways, once he's fighting Rocky, right? You know, he hasn't lost ever in his life, but once he gets punched really good and he starts seeing blood, his demeanor changes. He loses confidence. That's Sam Darnold, because this guy's like a bullet. This guy's like a machine. Week in and week out, last year, this year. Once he sees blood, though, once he gets punched in the face, once his team gets punched in the face, it changes so much. And that's what happened here with the Rams.
Ivan Drago,
there you go. Thanks. It's late.
Yeah. I didn't get that. I don't remember my Darnold takes on that. I know end of last season when you're talking about the last two games of the year. I mean, that was just common consensus for a team that had won 14 games, gets blown out on the last game of the season and the showdown with the Lions and then where he's in the playoffs. But, I mean, the Seahawks have been one of the better teams, if not, you know.
They're good.
I mean, I don't know where you got. I forgot you had in the power rankings, but you're talking probably a top eight, top five team in the league. And they've been really good. I mean, not the greatest game for Darnold, but, Rome, I texted you privately. I said if Darnold was playing against the Bears or the Vikings right now, the Vikings would have won that game.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I mean, that's a whole Vikings question of what they got at quarterback. But I think it's a tough game. The Rams are a really good team. You know, you mentioned the loss the Jags had to the Rams. At that time, you're like, oh, this is a blowout. But the Rams are coming to their own. Rams are, you know, they are a top two team in the NFC right now. You're looking at Eagles, Rams, potentially NFC championship game. Now, if you're looking to the top two teams, the NFC and the Rams, this was, you know, Seahawks, Rams probably was game of the week right now. And like, while it wasn't the prettiest game overall with the turnovers and stuff, I mean, that's what you're expecting. It's like two elite teams on both sides of the ball. They're playing each other. I mean, Sam Darnold needs to step up in one of these games, but even with that, he had a chance to tie the game there on the last drive of the game. So it's like that wasn't completely out of reach.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Darnold, what, 4 interceptions, I believe he had?
Yeah.
But like Jason said, he did bring them back. They were down 21-12, led them on a touchdown. They just ran out of time. They just didn't have enough time. He was leading them on another drive. A 61-yard field goal came up short. But Seattle's really good. I'm not worried about them. These guys had won, 10 straight on the road going in. Probably their only last loss on the road might have been here at SoFi against the Rams. The Rams are a really good team. Only loss is against the Eagles in a game that, let's be honest, they had won early in the year. Special teams let them down in a big way in that game. And then the 49ers, you know, without, 7-9 starters, maybe they kind of were, like, laughing at them. And, you know, 49ers showed up. They came back and got revenge last week. They showed the 49ers what's up. So the Rams are really good. I think, Rome, you have them number one in your power ranking. I would agree with that right now. They are the number one team. So that was a big win. I mean, I thought there was a number of big wins. The Rams with a big win. Carolina going on the road, coming back in the fourth quarter with a big win.
Big.
I think we're overlooking the importance of the Broncos win. Rome, you haven't been high on them, but I thought Bo Nix and that offense delivered when they need to.
I thought they looked good. They look
and they're
good.
Without a lot they of guys. They're without a lot of starters, too. So, I mean, Denver... This AFC is really shaping up right now with Denver, The Colts were on a bye. It's going to be interesting to see how the playoffs play out, because I think home field's going to be big, you know, going, getting these, the Colts, they're going to need home field because they're not going to want to go to Denver or somewhere cold. I don't like Daniel Jones below 30 degree weather in the playoffs. I don't trust them. But in that Indy Dome with Jonathan Taylor, I like him a lot more.
Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, very similar, man. They're playing lights out, but once they see blood, we'll see how they react, especially in the playoffs. Jones has that look too. Like,
well, Jones did have six turnovers against your guys, the Steelers. So
yeah, yeah. Speaking of other big wins,
he actually had mouth
yeah.
like
he did, he did, yeah. Was,
so you know,
but I mean, he actually, when he saw his own blood or tasted his own blood, he had a little Hannibal Lecter out there. He showed up, he delivered, got it done there in overtime. So in Berlin, there. So we'll
yes, Eagles, man, the Eagles Lions game, which was fucking awful, and everyone was criticizing like the last pass interference call, which was complete bullshit. Hate to see a game end like that. Lions still had a chance. I don't know. It was just an off day for golf as well. Bad game.
Can't play outdoors in the cold, man.
And Eagles, they picked up somebody at the trade deadline. He had a good game. That defense is really stout. Eagles still winning very ugly. Hurts, not going to impress you by any means, but they just find a way to win every single game. This was really huge. And the Lions, my one criticism is they always go for it on fourth down. There was some points that they could have had it. I two field goals for sure. I could have sworn there was like a third one. That's 9-point swing right there. I was not happy just watching that game. It was really frustrating to see. And I know Dan Campbell, a lot of people were criticizing the play calling, but it was like a little too much bravado for my taste when this is like a every point counts in these type of games. I was really upset. And they still had a chance to win. They still had a chance to win despite all that. What did you guys think of that game?
I mean, yeah, I was going to ask Aaron. You kind of called it the play calling that Campbell's taking over right now.
Bad,
and
dude,
it produces 9 points.
It was not good. It was not good.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good. I mean, that PI call at the end of the game was ridiculous. I mean, the referees, I thought, missed some other stuff. I mean, they called a false start on a tush push when the guy literally had his arm
first
just
of
sitting
all,
there, and the guy was touching him for an hour. Like, hey, ref, look,
dude.
I don't know what the ref's looking on that.
At least social. There's a funny meme too. There's like Patrick Mahomes, like in the X-Men outfit, looking at like the referees call the plays or like call the calls that they used to get, but now they're calling it for the Eagles. Eagles are like the NFL's darling right now. They're getting a lot of bullshit calls in a lot of these tough games. We can debate that moving forward if we see it as a trend, but really tough. Tough loss for the Lions and basically put Jason's Bears in first place, which, what the fuck?
Yeah, we'll get into Jason's Bears. I mean, look at Dan Campbell, like you mentioned, Rome, they were 0-for-5 on fourth down. Sometimes you just got to take points when they're given to you. I mean, you couldn't kick a field goal really over 40 yards in the first half because of the wind.
That's okay.
They had a stupid penalty on a touchdown celebration by Williams that led to a missed extra point. And, you know, Philly just did enough in the run game, got A.J. Brown more involved. So, I mean, I was shocked because I saw the standings for the NFC. I made a bold prediction in week one that the Lions would not make the playoffs. Currently,
I was thinking
they're
about
not in the playoffs.
I was
so
thinking
that
about
might be a take that we move
guy
to the forefront here in the next 2 months. I'm really loving that. Maybe we should bust that out on the socials because that is looking mighty, mighty good right now.
They're in the danger zone. It's getting kind of dicey. Yeah,
they're a little, they're, you know, they might be on life support here if we're not too careful. But they got the Giants coming up.
Where we go? Should we just stay in that division, Jason? Your Bears, the cardiac kids. That's what we should call them, the cardiac care Bears.
I don't know if that one's gonna take off, but yeah, I think cardiac kids was said on the broadcast. Yeah, I mean, huge win for the Bears. I mean, you're talking about my big smile and where they're at. Yeah, 7-3. I think there are four coaches in Bears history since George Halas, the owner, founder of the team, that have had a 7-3 start.
Really?
Mike Ditka, Lovie Smith, Matt Nagy, and now Ben Johnson. Like every so like someone even said, is Ben Johnson on the Mount Rushmore of Bears coaches already? 10 games in where Jesus he's at. Christ. So
I did like the stat where it says Matt Eberflus's road wins over four seasons, and it's like four games, and here he has six in his first 10 games of the year. Is it six?
Yeah, he's got four road wins in six games.
Yeah.
I think he's already equaled Eberflus's entire tenure. So, yeah, I mean, just it's those things, you know, they all been close. There's a lot of critics that, you know, the Bears haven't played the toughest schedule, which they haven't. And they haven't blown anyone out. I think their biggest blowout was the game I was at versus Dallas, was their first win of the season. And they really opened things up against a bad Dallas defense. But the rest of these games have been super close. And you've had, you know, moments down to the end. What they've proven, though, is they can win these close games regardless of who they're playing. And, you know, Caleb has been, you know, clutch when it mattered most at the end of the game. I still think there's tons of questions. I think there's tons of flaws in this team. Like, I'm sitting here 7-3. Like, yeah, it's not great. Defensively, if they don't get a turnover, they're probably going to lose the game. But in this game, J.J. McCarthy gave them those turnovers that made it, you know, made it something and gave them the right field position. I think the biggest thing in the offense, they dominate the run. They're able to get the run game going. Since the bye week, they've been, I don't know, like the second leading rushing team in the league where they have something with Swift and Menungai, but they don't score touchdowns. And that's always the thing watching these games is like they get within the, you know, in the 10-yard line or within the five, and they don't convert. You know, they don't convert these drives to touchdowns all the time. And that's where they leave Minnesota lingering in this game, where I never felt confident up 16-3. And you're saying this is a two possession game that Minnesota wasn't going to come back. And they did. And it was 100% there. You needed a big return by Duvernay. And then after Santos missed one like 10 minutes prior, he's able to kick the game winning field goal. So I'll be the first to admit the Bears are flawed, man. Watching those games is stressful. I think my heart was skipping beats in certain ways, you know, during that game, but things have lined up well. But this is year one of Ben Johnson, and I'm not delusional to say, hey, Bears going to win the Super Bowl. Like, they're a flawed team. It's going to take a lot for them to say year one is Super Bowl. They're building something here. But I think these are the good, you know, building blocks of what's going to go take off in the future. Cause I'm super impressed continually with the offense is. There's just a couple things that they're going to continue working on and get better at. They have the big plays. Now it's just about consistently drive over drive. Like, how are you taking that first half and be up like 20 to nothing in the first half versus sitting around only up 10-3? You know, there's ways that they need to convert more points. And I think they'll find a way.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears got, what do they got here? They got the Steelers coming up and then a big game on Black Friday against the Eagles at Philadelphia.
It's a tough schedule coming
so
up.
They've got Green Bay a couple times here, 49ers, Detroit. So, I mean, we're going to find out a lot about the Bears right now as we finish towards the back stretch here. But I mean, 7-3 is impressive. You know, they've won, like Jason said, four games on the road. That's a good feat. It's not easy to win on the road in the NFL, and you got to go get turnovers. I think for Minnesota, the question is what are you getting from JJ McCarthy? Like, he's yet to win a home game, too inconsistent. I mean, I saw Justin Jefferson, the Bears were throwing linebackers out there to cover him, and Justin Jefferson or JJ McCarthy throwing the ball 5 yards over his head. So, I mean, the inconsistencies in the throwing game from him. And then when he does make a good pass, the guys are surprised that he makes a good pass and they drop it.
He had a lot of drop passes. You know, it's still like what, only like the fourth or fifth start by him. So I'm not too worried about that. He's still making some plays. They're like, oh shit, okay.
I mean, he can make some plays. I mean, what's weird is the first three quarters against the Bears in both games, he's been bad. And then the fourth quarter, I don't know, like a light switch turns on and he's just really,
it's
really good.
It's always the fourth quarter.
You watch what the Vikings were doing offensively, and the Bears aren't anything great defensively. We've seen, you know, Bengals and other teams drop 30, 40 points on these guys. So I expect this to be a high-scoring game. That's why the total was 48.5. And Minnesota's just really, really inconsistent. You know, you guys touched on early. What would they – if they had Sam Darnold, they're likely winning this game. And, you know, I get why they moved off Sam Darnold. You get a rookie quarterback who you like. You get him on that contract. You can, you know – supplement the money elsewhere to your roster. They still got a good defense. Brian Flores is still a very good coordinator. Likely with the lawsuit that he had against the NFL, is not going to be up for an NFL gig. He'll get interviews, but he's probably not going to get one. So he'll be back as a coordinator next year. And we'll see. We'll see what JJ McCarthy grows into. But
we'll see.
You know, he's got the win against Detroit. He got the Bears win. You know, yeah. Two wins. If you look at him play, you're like, how did the Bears lose against this guy week one? And how did he beat Detroit? Detroit coming off a bye that led to Dan Campbell taking play calling duties over. So, I mean, that division right now.
It's a deep division. Even the last place team is really good. So,
yeah, I mean, I think Jason and I have touched on it. It's probably the best division in football.
I know you guys said that. That wasn't true last year. You guys were just gloating, but it might be this year. I like it.
I mean, there's three playoff teams out of that division, and they won like 12, 14.
Well, they all
like
went out in the first round.
Something like that. That's fair. That's fair. I mean, you're going to compare it against the NFC West right now.
I don't think three go out this year.
I hope
NFC
not.
NFC North's only going to
get two. That means I'm likely right about Detroit.
I think Detroit's okay right now. The Bears, though, let's talk about their games, though. They have a pretty tough stretch. What's realistically what they're going to end up with?
Well, they got seven wins. I say, well, just off the top of my head, I say they beat Pittsburgh, lose at Philly, lose at Green Bay. I think they beat Cleveland and Green Bay. 49ers is a toss-up game. Both teams are probably going to have a lot to play for. I'll say the 49ers beat them, and Detroit-Chicago is a playoff eliminator game to end the season. And I think the Bears beat them.
Wow. So they end up with 11 wins?
That's what I think.
They go 4-2?
Was that 4-3? Yeah.
Jason.
But Jason's the Bears expert, so we'll see what he feels. He might feel 5-2. But I think 4-3 is safe.
I'd have to go back. 10-11 wins is where I said at the beginning of the season for them was going to be realistic in their schedule. And I think they're pretty much exactly where I thought they'd be right now. I thought it was different, probably different of that Ravens game was, I thought was a loss of the play in Lamar, but they lost to a backup quarterback there. And I didn't envision the first loss at the beginning of the year, but I thought a split with the Vikings, split with the Packers and split with the Lions is likely. So are you looking back on when I picked them? A lot of losses. I got some bets with some friends too on where some things are at, but it's around the 10 win marker. So 10-7 to me like seem realistic. I agree with Aaron. They got the Steelers game up, which you know could be tough, but you might not have got Rodgers. They're going to luck out there. They're going to play a Browns team, which isn't great. And then I think the Packers are flawed. Normally I go into Packers games for the last like decade plus with Aaron Rodgers, like that we have no chance. The Packers offense isn't great. I don't know if they have any sort of identity. And Jordan Love, if he turns the ball over, this is where the Bears defense and this is how they wins games. You're telling me he doesn't turn the ball over in either of those outings. I think Aaron's right. I think probably the game at Soldier Field, the more likely one. But I think there's an easy pass for them to be winning 10-11 games.
Do you guys recall what you guys predicted for the Bears? Position in division and over under. It was 8.5 wins, by the way.
I know I definitely took the over 8.5.
You did.
And I'm pretty sure I picked them second in the division behind the Packers.
You did not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you had Lions, Packers, Bears, then Vikings. You were being conservative, but you did say 9-10 wins for the Bears. Okay. So two more and you hit that mark. Aaron had the under 8 wins.
Oh, under 8.5?
I had the over 8.5. You said 8. They're going to win 8. So I wrote 8. But yeah, we all had them third. I had them second. I had Lions, then Bears, then Packers, then Vikings. So kind of crazy. Yeah, it's going to be tough, man. 5 of those games are definitely losable. If they can go 4-3, I think that's really good. So it'll be tough, man. It's not going to be good for the Detroit Lions. They got to step it up. All right. Let's circle back, man. Worst loss or bad loss? Worst loss? We already talked about the Lions, so I don't think we need to delve into that. Ravens got lucky to escape the Browns.
Probably.
I would not say the Chiefs is a bad loss because they just lost to a better, more talented Broncos team.
I mean, I would call it a bad loss. I mean, they were favored coming off a bye. Andy Reid was 22-4.
That's tough.
They're 5-5 right now.
They're 5-5.
AFC, The AFC is deep right now because, I mean, the Chargers and Jaguars all have tiebreakers over them right now because they beat them. Obviously,
they lost.
Obviously, yeah. The Chiefs play the Chargers again here in a couple weeks. But
this is Chiefs. Yeah. They got the Colts next. Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean,
Texans.
Chiefs got the Colts coming off a bye. Yeah, it's not going to be an easy game.
Then they got Chargers, yeah. Titans, Broncos, and Raiders. So at least they got all divisional games at the end.
Yeah, I think Aaron's calling this right one. I think it is the Chiefs. So you can just, when you look at the tiebreakers you're talking through, and you got a team in the playoffs outside looking in right now, and as far as like winning the division, that's a pretty big gulf. It's, you know, 3 games difference in the division, 3.5 to the 9-2 Broncos. I think their only saving grace is probably the Chargers haven't stepped away, but you know, the Chargers 7-4 right now, Chiefs at 5-5. Like they're still, you know, a game and a half back, and you know, you got a lot of middle records there with, you know, Texans now up to 5-5. We talked about the Jags early, you know, Ravens have clawed their way back to 5-5 with your Steelers sitting at 6-4. So, I mean, there's a lot there. And if you don't have the tiebreakers of the Chiefs, I think Aaron's probably right on this one.
Yeah, this is a big game against the Colts because if they go to 5-6, I mean, Thanksgiving, say what you want against Dallas. It's not going to be an easy game. I mean, Dallas can score. That defense, I don't take a lot away from what they did against the Raiders. The Raiders are bad offense, but won't be easy. And then they got Houston, and Houston's playing well. We know they got a really good defense, so that's going to be a tough game. So they got Houston, Chargers. I mean, nice games against at Tennessee, at Raiders, to basically 2 of the last 3 games. Still get Denver, but they lose this game against the Colts, I'm pinning them on life support if they lose that game, because they're going to be very difficult to get back in, considering that we're all expected Jaguars to beat the Cardinals. I don't think that's going to be easy. It's not a guarantee, but I would say they got to get that win and could be really separate themselves from the Chiefs if the Chiefs were to lose against the Colts. Colts coming off a bye. This is a big game for the Colts. They got to prove themselves against an elite AFC team. Steichen will have those guys ready. That's going to be a good game. Maybe the game of the week.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to look around. No, yeah, it's came pretty tight. It's pretty muddled in the middle, which we haven't had this in like years past where like it's so muddled in the middle. We've had like the shitty teams kind of bounce out by week 6. We already kind of established that. We got the elite teams. We got several 3-2-1, you know, 2-loss teams, and they're running here in both conferences, and no sign of anyone really slowing down, really. Yeah, besides those games, though, nothing really sticks out for me. Yeah, Purdy looked great. Brock Purdy looked great. Steelers, Rodgers, is he going to be out? He might.
Looks like he's going to be out, but he looks like he wants to make every effort to play. So I hope he plays.
He might be in a cast.
You know he wants to show him back to Soldier Field because he is a part owner of that team.
He loves it.
I would love nothing more than him to have that hubris and get back on the field and, you know, throw the dire interception that the Bears defense wants at the wrong moment. Yeah. So
I mean, it's a Hollywood ending there. Either he goes there and breaks the Bears' heart, or the Bears finally get over the hump and it's a sale of ownership, and now Rodgers goes into the sunset and the Bears maybe win the division finally about Rodgers there.
I really need the Steelers to win this one.
It's a big game for both teams.
Yeah, it's huge. Any other comments for the NFL? No. By the way, Ja'Marr Chase, man, I don't think 1-game suspension was enough. I saw that big-ass loogie. He's a dirty player. I don't like him. I'm siding with my guys. He deserves 2-game suspension for that loogie. And then the audacity that says that he didn't open his mouth to that guy. Or like say anything.
I would agree.
Lying from everyone's faces.
Rome, the fact that disgusting. He lied resulted in another game. I'm gonna agree. It's 2 games. What should he get? If he came clean and said, "Yeah, I did it," 1 game. But since he lied and the evidence is there, 2 games is a penalty he should have received.
I know they're a rival for the Steelers, but I generally like Burrow, Chase, and company. That was the end of it, though. That shit to Jalen and the guys. I'm not rooting for them anymore. I hope they lose every other game from here on out. Time for Burrow to find a new team. All right. Let's switch it up, man. Let's transition really quickly. We'll do like a quick recap on college football because we had a hell of a weekend in college picks again. You know, it's just been a rough couple of weeks for us. You know, but we started hot though. We started hot. All the other experts, they did not. You know, had one or two good weeks.
I think to our credit, we started hot college, cold NFL. We kind of wanted to, you know, we kind of put our focus back towards the NFL. That's the breadwinner of everybody. We wanted to get back in the win column there. We have turned it around. Unfortunately, we've kind of taken a dive like Penn State here in the college picks lately. Just can't get off the schnob.
I don't know if we can say everyone's Penn State. I would say me particularly has been Penn State when it comes to college. You know, so with that, I'm going to be taking a 1 week suspension from this Wednesday's college football show. I will let Aaron go back it alone. I think we need to change what we're doing. You know, make a change of to roster setup. So I'll let you guys this Wednesday do next week's college football picks. You know, just the two of you guys to reset. I don't know when the last time I won a college football bet based on
coming on the show.
I'm pretty sure it was, so I really I need to be.
Jason is 0-7. He's not won in the last 3 weeks.
Dude, has it been since? Oh my god, it's hilarious! I didn't even realize that.
I'm pretty sure the timelines line up. So I think I need to take a break. Aaron needs to just do the show. You know, give the words of wisdom and the locks out there. You know, he's pretty good. But it hasn't worked out well for me. You know, Aaron gave me a lot of credit for having good reads at Notre Dame, maybe Clemson here or there.
And they should have went with that. I was talking to Aaron about the Clemson game. Like, I don't know, man. Like, Jason kind of talked me into it. I kind of want to lean that one. You should just, you know, the Notre Dame and the Clemson one would have been, I don't know. The numbers are showing, I don't know.
So here's the thing. Jason has been... Right. Three teams Jason's been right about a lot. He's been on the USC train. He's been on the Clemson train. He's been on the Notre Dame train.
You guys got so fucking lucky.
So
I'm so sorry.
I actually think you're wrong in the USC front, Aaron, because I was wrong in them versus Illinois, and now I was wrong in them since Iowa. So if they play any of my Midwest schools.
You were right against Notre Dame with them.
Stay away from the Midwest.
It's like
Texas against Georgia. They just.
I will say this. I do like USC to cover 10.5 against Oregon this weekend. I think it's going to be a close game. USC's got a lot to play for. I mean, they went out. They're in the playoff.
How'd you do in your locks this week?
0-3, I believe. Was Texas a lock?
It was a lock.
Okay, yeah, I was 0-3 then. It was not a good lock week because I had Texas, I believe, right? I had the over in Cincinnati, Arizona, which... They just was 56. They finished with 54 since Arizona missed two easy field goals. And then we had the over in Notre Dame, Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh just couldn't score when they got down inside the 10.
First 0-3 week?
I believe so.
Oh, man.
So I'm saying we got to switch the vibes up. We need something down the stretch, and I think suspending me from the show this Wednesday is the right call.
What do you have this Wednesday? You got
engagement? Nothing.
No,
he's getting ready to go to Vegas for F1.
When do you leave?
Not till Friday. But there's, you know, a lot of things we need to get cert. You know, we need to get.
He's got a scheduling conflict. He's got some F1 podcasts he's got to get on.
Are you going to change your Pirelli tires like halfway through the Vegas?
Yeah, 100%. You know, just we'll start with the hards. But I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of rain right here. We're gonna probably need the intermediates there, and maybe the wet weathers as we go through the Cajon Pass. So,
by the way, like, dude, it is dangerous driving a car without my BMW X5 with the sports package. It's just not the same in the rain. Like, this is what everyone else drives in, and he's like, shit. Like today, I drove a Nissan Versa, whatever that is. Okay. It was scary driving in the rain. It was like you couldn't see 20 feet in front of you. Big rigs.
I slid. Yeah.
I almost slid and hit another car. Like, I caught it in time because people usually brake. You don't want to brake when you're sliding like that. You just want to go with the flow, go the opposite direction. It was so close. It was nerve-wracking. I don't want to drive in the rain for a while. Am I the good driver, or like, was the BMW the good driver? Like, this is a scary to drive without the tires.
What first world problems where you be like, man, I can't drive unless I'm in my BMW X5, you know? All of the other, you know, peasants out there with your Nissans and your Hyundais. Versa. But Yeah, please let me get in my BMW so I can successfully drive in the rain. Sound like a true Southern Californian, to be honest with you. You belong back down here, Rome, probably in Orange County. You could have said it would have been your like Land Rover or something like that. You'd have been talking.
I actually do like Land Rovers. I would love to have a Land Rover. That and the G Series cars. Oh my God. I get too excited about those cars. Every time I see one on the road,
You start drinking yourself off when you see one on the road, Rome? Is that?
Oh my God, they're so pretty, man. They're pretty cars. They're great. Land Rovers are hard to work on, though. I have not had any success working on them so far on friends' cars. We've jacked them all up. So that'll be next on the list. All right. Anyways, back to college football real quick. I was nervous about the Texas pick. And every right to Georgia has whipped their ass every single week. They're just bigger, tougher. They have not looked good. Archie Manning had an okay game, but other than that, that was not good. Did you call the BYU game?
Yeah, I did like BYU.
It was nice. Utah, though.
Yeah, Utah
pounced on Baylor.
Yeah,
that was really bad. I saw part of the UCLA game, and I'm just after that Penn State one, they have not showed up really since at Penn State. Ole Miss had a tough one against Florida. A lot of the rumors that Lane Kiffin has 1 foot out the door. They've seen his family visiting spots.
Yeah, they visited in Florida. Rouge, and they've also Sunday been in Florida. And Louisiana today, right?
Yeah, he's not staying, dude. Fuck.
They gave him an ultimatum. He has to have it up by the time they play the Egg Bowl or something.
That just came out
today,
right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Why would they do that?
I believe the 28th. November 28th.
What's up with college football? Just like, can we just finish a season?
You can't now. This transfer portal and everything.
It's dumb. Then change it.
Problem is, you have the transfer portal and high school recruiting signing classes. Because signing class, the early signing period is what, December, the first week of December. It used to be the first week of February. They just had one. And then the transfer portal starts on January 2nd, and they only have one of those. So. The playoff starts the 31st and the 1st, so
they should have the offseason for college football and like high school just start January 15th. That's it. Bam. Just set it, standardize it, so we don't have to deal with this shit.
In an ideal world, but this is major college football we're talking about, so money talks, and it's going to go through. It's an interesting timing considering where Ole Miss is right now within, you know, potentially getting to the college football playoff if Lane does leave.
Do you guys think Lane leaves?
It's looking like it. You're right. I thought he signed that extension on, and it was just like all fake. But they were chanting for Lane Kiffin. He looked really nervous on the sideline. I'm just like, dude, he doesn't look like a guy that's going to be staying there after this year. He'll stay for a playoff, but I think he's gone.
I don't think if he signs by the 28th, he will be released of his contract.
Really?
I think Ole Miss is going to pull the trigger.
Somebody was throwing that rumor around, and I don't know who. I'm just like, why would they do that?
So you think if they're in the college football playoff, they just relieve him of this contract? And
somebody threw that rumor.
Yes.
Yesterday.
So I think Charlie Weiss Jr. is going to take over. I don't think this is a bad move for Mississippi because you save a lot of money not giving him a long-term contract. I mean, he's never made the playoff before.
CDOC?
It's only the second year.
Lane Kiffin has been at Ole Miss for how many years?
4 or 5.
Feels like longer.
Yeah, it feels longer.
He was at Tennessee.
He was at Tennessee for 1 year and then
Tennessee
jumped ship
like
on them.
15 years ago, he's at Tennessee.
Yeah. So look at Rome. You've said it and we've all said it. Mississippi's given him everything he wants. So the fact that they gave him this hard deadline, I mean, I don't know if the AD is going to step up, but I would relieve him. LSU, whatever can get him. And then I think
2020.
Yeah. So this is the fifth year then, right?
It's not that long. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, he's lost a lot of games and I think they're in the playoff regardless if they lose to Mississippi State or whatnot. I mean, we've seen a lot of these coaching carousels where guys are mentioned for jobs or teams kind of slip up. They almost did. Against Florida here. I think he is. I think he's gone, whether it's LSU or the Gators. We'll see. But I think Charlie Weiss Jr., offensive guy calling the plays, why don't bring him in? You save a lot of money.
You know what? I'd like to see Lane not go to another college team. I like to come seeing with the Giants. I'm kind of digging that.
I think a lot of it was coming out. He wasn't interested in the pros.
Yeah.
Just no job security there.
I mean, there's not a lot of job security in college football.
Yeah, but
too,
you get but... the buyout's just too great to pass up.
That's fair. Well, if he's worried about that, I'd probably stay away from LSU because I'm not sure if you're going to get the buyout.
I mean, currently LSU's got like four coaches on staff, head coaches. They don't fire anybody. They just basically pitch you in a room and say, sign this contract or we're not going to let you out.
Dude, overall this past week, though, I did not like any game for picks. Michigan barely beat Northwestern.
And Rome, we talked about liking Northwestern. We talked about a lot of games we liked that we didn't because they're just too close. But this upcoming week in college games is tough as well.
My notepad did have Texas Tech, by the way. I messed up while I was driving down.
Texas Tech was a nice one. I like that.
Oklahoma, big win.
Do you guys agree if Texas losing that they're done? They're not going to the playoffs now, regardless if they beat A&M. I don't think they're going to the playoff.
Oh, three losses, there's no way they're in.
I think Oklahoma, if they win out, it's in the playoff.
Oklahoma has some really good wins.
And they've got the end with Missouri and LSU at home. I think the SEC is getting five teams. It would be, what, A&M, Ole Miss, Bama, Georgia, and Oklahoma if they went out.
I think Texas has a chance to beat Texas A&M.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they do, but it doesn't do anything for me. They're out. They're done. It's not going to be enough.
We'll see what the playoff rankings come up with later today.
Yeah, I think if you're talking 11-1 Texas A&M, like they're still in, and I think at that point, like looking at what the SEC championship game is, like they do they clinch their spot in the SEC championship game right now? Because they're
only game is a non-conference game. They're 7-0 in the conference, right? So
yeah, so I don't know. I guess Ole Miss, Bama, Georgia's 7-1 already.
It'd become the highest ranked, two highest ranked teams. So, I mean, for A&M, it's not a bad thing not to get into the SEC title game if they lose to Texas. I mean, obviously, they're going to win it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no one's as close to Ohio State.
Everything's already circling. Aaron's probably five SEC teams that you're looking at. ACC, Big 12, each getting one. I'll say the Miami contingent. I still see that on Twitter, just going crazy over Notre Dame. That two loss Notre Dame gets in.
Miami's only chance was Oklahoma had to lose to Bama because that would eliminate them from the playoff.
Yeah, Miami's all out of how does Notre Dame and Miami both have two losses and Miami's got the head to head and why is Notre Dame automatically in and Miami could win out and still not get in because they might not get into the ACC championship game.
I don't think Miami's going to get in. Virginia, Georgia Tech, likely the teams are Georgia Tech, Virginia, likely the teams that get in. The Big Ten's what? Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon, USC, if they went out, would get that. That'd be nine. Then you get the ACC, the Big 12. I mean, it could be interesting because if USC wins out, they probably still don't get in because I think you got to take Notre Dame over SC because they beat them middle of the season by 10 points.
Well, what about Michigan? What if they went out? They beat Ohio State again at the end of the year.
That wouldn't surprise me if they beat them, but they're not getting in. I mean, they got losses against USC. Yeah, they're not getting in Michigan.
They lost to USC and Oklahoma.
Yeah, they're not getting in. Because Indiana's going to the championship Big Ten, and Ohio State would still get in, I believe. So we'll see.
Yeah, we had a bad week. We're like basically our season is done, right?
I mean, we got two more weeks, but we'll see how that goes.
All right.
And then decide we want to do college, pro, or both next year, or one or the other. Maybe go pros because that it's a little more money, but less picks. You don't have to choose from 50 games.
How the pros work?
The same. Five games against the spread.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's only five instead of seven.
Oh, I don't mind that.
What'd you guys think of James Franklin at Virginia Tech?
I have no opinion.
Is that official?
Yeah.
Yeah. So his buyout now is $8 million.
Yeah, $8-9 million now.
Yeah. I think it's a good move for him, but I don't know if he's using this for a stair stepping into another job. But I mean, it in a competitive ACC and Virginia Tech's got a rich history, I think it could be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be curious what the contract is when it comes out because Rome, like you said, I mean, his buyout now is $8-9 million with Penn State. So that means at least Virginia Tech's giving him at least $40 million or something.
Well, a lot of these buyouts are contingent. Like, if you take another job, then it eliminates a lot of that. It's like...
Yeah, I mean, it eliminates. I don't know if it eliminated that much. I think James Franklin did maybe him a favor. I mean, you're talking from, you're talking from 49 to 9 million. That's what, 80%?
Yeah, but like, so let's say like, what's the year average you think he's getting at Virginia Tech?
I think Virginia Tech probably gave him a 6-year, probably $8 to $9 million contract. So probably he's getting 54 mil over 6 years.
I can't remember the equation of how,
because Virginia Tech supposedly they passed their board of trustees. Yeah, they're going to $225 million over the next 4 years into the athletic department.
Yeah.
So whatever facility, infrastructure, NIL, all that for all their athletics, you got to imagine 80% of that's going to go towards college football. I mean, 75-80% is kind of normal for these powers. So that's an average of about $40 million a year they're going to spend on roster and everything here in college football. So I mean, if that's the case, and Franklin can recruit, Virginia Tech could become a serious player in the next 2 years or something again. Because it's really all money. It's really all money in college football. If you're willing to invest money-wise, like Indiana, like you get the right coach, you get some players and invest money-wise, you can come back and be good in a year or two. That's what transfer portal is, but you still got to recruit high school kids and whatnot. And Franklin can recruit. So I think it's a good, safe move, because Virginia Tech's happy of 8, 9, 10 wins a year. I mean, you're golden there. They haven't been good since Frank Beamer left. So,
was it like 9 years ago?
I think he retired in, what, 2015, 2016?
Yeah.
I mean, Virginia Tech, Mike Vick, those were the golden years there.
Mike Vick, dude. I remember the Mike Vick years, yeah.
I mean, they saw, it was an interesting stat because they came over, I think they came over the same time with Miami from the Big East, if I'm not mistaken. They've won four ACC titles during that range. I mean, Jason always points out Miami's won none, and Miami, oh my God, we should be in the playoff. Miami, go F yourself, guys.
Dude, I miss all these old conferences, man.
I miss the old Big East. The
Big East ain't coming back.
Basketball, Jesus. We still got it in basketball. Still got UConn. Yeah, still got St. John's.
I don't know how UConn football doesn't get into a conference. They play D1, but they can't get into the conference anywhere.
They've been trying. They were trying to get into, they were looking to leave Big East in basketball to go to the Big 12, but the Big 12 didn't want them because they didn't want the football program. So they basically denied them on that. And I think the Big 12 ended up taking Gonzaga in basketball. I think Gonzaga joins the Big 12.
Isn't it weird
how
you can just like be in different conferences, like for different sports? Like,
well, Notre Dame's in the ACC in basketball. Well, maybe for every other sport.
They were in the Mountain West, but also in the Pac-12 for several of the sports.
Are they still the Big West? Is that still a conference for basketball?
Mountain West.
But now it's the Big West, right?
Big West. It's the Big
West. Oh, it's Big West now. Yeah, Big West.
No, there's the Mountain West. Yeah, Mountain West is UNLV, Boise State. Big West is UCI, Cal State Fullerton, Long Beach State.
Yeah, then I know like a handful of their sports that are in the Pac-12. It's like, it's so weird. Or at least it was like that. That doesn't make any sense to me, man.
It runs differently. I think Notre Dame is, I mean, it depends on the sports, because not every school has every sport. I think Notre Dame, like you said, they're ACC basketball. They have an ACC partial agreement in football, but they're not in the conference. And I'm pretty sure they're in the Big Ten hockey conference.
That's retarded. All right.
Yeah. And there was a school, I think it's basketball. I can't remember. There's another school like kind of switching conferences. Our Coach K was wanting the ACC to become like a super league in college basketball, but it's like impossible to do because it would mess up the football conference stuff.
All right. I'm tapped out on football, guys.
All right, we'll save it for later then.
Yeah. Any final comments? No. Let's hope for a better week, I guess, in college football then.
Yeah, we got 2 weeks left, man. 2 weeks left. I got 3 picks this week. Jason and Rome with 2 each. So
I think
Jason should just go back to Clemson and Notre Dame. And Notre Dame's like a 35-point favorite against whoever they're playing, I saw.
Syracuse?
Yeah, that's 35-point spread.
It's actually a play I was going to do. I think Syracuse is starting a walk-on quarterback.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
And you know Notre Dame wants to keep blowing people out looking impressive because Miami supposedly is so great. So
if they blew Pittsburgh out by that much, like, why not?
Yeah, Syracuse has been – yeah, ever since they lost their quarterback to that torn Achilles or whatever he had back against – I think it was against Pittsburgh or somebody. Like, Syracuse has just been
– Alabama's playing Eastern Illinois, too. Like, whatever that is, I'll take it.
Eastern Illinois?
Yeah.
That's I think it's Tony Romo's alma mater.
Yeah.
All right, well, we a pencil in Notre Dame then. We'll see what the spread comes out Wednesday for Aaron.
Wednesday.
You know, it may be a Clemson and Notre Dame week, regardless of what happens. We'll just throw it against the wall, you know?
Is there any other news that came out this past week? I feel like I want to talk about something, but I can't think of it right now.
As far as teams, coaches, or what?
I don't know, man. It sounds like you're in space, though.
Well, you said you were done with football, room, so I think that's true. You know.
Yeah, I might just crash out right now. I've been up since 4:30.
Yeah, I didn't realize it's already 12:30, Rome. I didn't even realize it was that late.
Yeah. All right, that'll do it then. Thanks for the football recap. All recap, NFL, college football, week 12, week 11. We'll be back with...
All winning week in NFL, man.
All winning week. We're still up for the year, right?
In what? College?
Yeah.
We're like around... Yeah, for the games of the week.
Yeah. All right, cool.
That's a gimme.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so... Games of the Week coming out Thursday on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. We'll do some more Lions. That comes out on Friday. And then I think we'll probably do a Las Vegas preview as well for the Grand Prix F1.
I think the preview's been stated here for about a month. We are on George Russell to win, and that's where we're going.
Yeah. I'll begin to Caesars early Friday morning and putting some wagering down on George Russell.
Caesars? Dude, I've never lost in blackjack at Caesars.
Caesars is a good place. Right, well, I like Caesars.
Let's translate that luck to me, and we'll see what happens.
The worst I did, though, it was like back in college. I lost like $2,500 like in a matter of like a couple of hours. It was like my rent money. So I took out like the last $600 in my bank account and just like won everything back. I was drugged up all night. But I made that money back and some, got the buffet, got the room, you know, had a good time and drove my ass away. That was the last time I really gambled heavily until I played blackjack with Aaron a couple years ago at Circa. It was my first time like in a decade. It was pretty cool. And I didn't even want to leave because we were doing pretty good.
Yeah, it was like 1 a.m., but we had to get up like at 4 to leave the next morning, right?
So I could see my daughter, yeah. If it wasn't for my daughter, I'd be still there,
you know. It's like one of those things like, hey, we either go to bed now or just keep going.
Yeah, we should have kept on going, actually.
We were doing pretty good that night.
Yeah. All right, that'll do it. Source from the Sofa. Check us out on the socials. Check us out YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast. We are out.